in association with the AgriHealth Network, it's time for That Farm Life podcast, Planting Hope, Harvesting Strength. On That Farm Life, we talk about that life that is that of a farmer and their family. It's about the day-to-day grind, the good times, the tough times, and everything in between, because farming is more than a job, it's a way of life. And we're here to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. Now, here's your host, a farmer, a former agribusiness owner, and also the pastor of a Southern Baptist church in Arkansas, Archie Mason.
Well, hey, folks, this is Archie Mason, your host, That Farm Life Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another episode today. Hey, as always, if you are here hearing us, listening to us for the first time, check out our website at agrihealth.net. We've got some resources there. We talk about the stress and strains of the farm life, the rural life, and in our conversations with our guests, we just kind of get down to the nitty-gritty of life. Sometimes we talk about subjects that are not always popular. You may have went to the store this morning, got a cup of coffee with all your friends, and they asked you how you were doing. You said, great, but we know that you lied to them. So we're going to maybe uncover some of those things today and kind of help you walk through life. Again, thanks for our sponsors. Thank you for all of you. We have a large audience who listen to us and catch us every week. So we appreciate you greatly. I'm excited about today. We have Ron Deal. He is a therapist. He's a speaker, an author of The Smart Step Family, Building Love in Blended Families, Dating and the Single Parent, and many more. He's a president of Smart Step Families and director of Family Life Blended. He also hosts the Family Life Blended podcast and started As For Me and My House Ministries. Ron, thank you for being with us today.
Man, it's an honor to be with you, Archie. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Hey, tell us about yourself and your family.
You know, first thing out of my mouth, I got to say how much respect I have for your listening audience. I grew up in Iowa. We know something about farming in Iowa, but here's the funny thing, Archie. I know nothing about farming. I grew up in the city, but boy, everybody I know, you know, touched the farm life somehow.
Yes,
sir.
Some
of my best friends, even today, are people that spent most of their life on a farm, growing up on a farm or living on a farm. And so a lot
of
respect.
Well, here's a question before you even go any further. How'd you get from growing up on a farm in Iowa to where you are today? How did that happen?
You know, when you work in the field of marriage and family and ministry, you kind of have to go where the jobs are. And so guess what? You get to move around. I've lived in Texas twice. I've lived in Missouri. I lived in California for a couple of years and lived in Arkansas now twice, two different occasions for a total of 22 years. So there it is. You know, you just sort of have to go where there are opportunities.
Well, I got you. Well, I tell you what, I hope after our broadcast today that a lot of our folks link up with you, kind of, if I can say, hook into your website and all the stuff. Hey, and by the way, folks, before I forget it, everything we talk about today and probably things that we don't talk about, we will link those, list those in the show notes so you can get this. But you need to follow Ron Deal. You need to get his books, listen to his podcast, be a part of what he's doing. So, Ron, tell us about your family.
Yeah. So my wife and I both grew up in Des Moines, Iowa. We met in seventh grade. At least I met her. I saw her down the hallway and thought,
hey, was
wow.
It love? Was it love at first sight?
It was for me. It was not for her. It took a few years for me to convince her. But then we started dating and we got married a couple years out of high school. We've been married 37 years at this point in time. We have three boys. And man, it's just been quite a ride, quite a journey. And I'll just say up front, we have been through, we've had marital strife and difficulty. We've had a great, great loss in our life. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we know pain. We know stress. We're actually doing seminars talking about that because I think people need to hear that, you know, when hard things come, it doesn't have to be the end of us. It doesn't have to be the end of us. We can find our way through and find our way back to each other, even when you find yourself, you know, on opposite sides of the house. and that's a story we need to tell. And that we've lived that. We have certainly lived that. I got a degree in family studies and biblical studies and went into ministry, figured out real fast working with teenagers. I didn't know enough about family to really help the kids. And so I went back to school and got a degree in marriage and family therapy. And I've been doing basically marriage and family ministry ever since, trying to help people find themselves in difficult places and at the same time trying to prevent problems whenever we can and however we can, helping marriages to grow and be stronger and helping single parent families. And I drifted into this thing called step family ministry because there was such a need in the cities where I was working. And you know what I didn't know, Archie, is that I was stumbling into really a new area of work and ministry in local communities. And so, long story short, I found myself doing this full time. I've now been sitting in this space, specifically working with blended families for, oh my goodness, trying to do the math real quick, about 17, 18 years. I've been doing some form of blended family ministry for 30 years. And it has been the joy of my life to be able to help people have a second chance, help people who find themselves struggling for no fault of their own, going, now what do? To figure out what the next steps are and how to grow their family, how to preserve life for their children, and you know, make home a place that people want to come back to.
Wow. Well, as I said, we talk about things on this or issues in this podcast that are not normally talked about. So even right now, you might want to go to cell phone and text one of your friends and go, hey, there's this guy on that Farm Life podcast that you need to listen to. So this is great stuff, Ron. We want to keep going and exploring it. So, you know, that, so you saw a need. That's what caused you to focus on, yep, on blended families. So tell us, and again, mix it in with blended or just the struggles that people have in marriage. As you said, 37, myself, 34. Every day is a new day.
That's right.
As we wake up and we go forward. So what are some of the biggest challenges that are faced by blended families or just families in general?
Okay, so let's just talk about blended families for a minute. Expectations is really a big point of self-sabotage, to be honest. There is a, imagine if it's not your life, somebody you know and love and care about, it is their life. Imagine your first spouse died. I mean, whatever the story was, how tragic is that, right? And yet you find yourself moving on, you got a couple of kids, trying to figure out the next steps. Some years go by, you fall in love with another person, you get married. And somewhere in that dream of new marriage, new family, is this notion that somehow what has been lost can be regained. If the first family fell apart because of a broken marriage, you want to get back what you intended to have in the first go round. And so there's this natural belief that forming a new marriage and blended family is going to somehow, I don't know, repair or fix what has been lost. And that expectation really creates a lot of problems. I'm going to crucify this example, but just imagine you bought a farm and you thought the ground was ready to grow X, you know, crop, and really it's all wired for Y, and X is not going to work with the Y ground. And so you go in planting, giving, harvesting, working hard, spending money like crazy and spending time, and you're not going to get what you thought you were going to get. And how discouraging and disappointing that could be to wake up to, this is not what I thought it was. Now we got to stop right here because the analogy breaks down, because blended families can be amazing redemptive organisms in the life of adults and children. But you got to understand what you're building and how to build it and how this has a blueprint, if I could say it that way, different than a first family does. And when you have a better sense of what you're actually building, not what you thought you were building, but what you're actually building, then all of a sudden there's hope and there's a, you could see the value of it. You could see the rewards that are coming along the path. But again, if you're constantly grading yourself by some expectation that is not reality, then you just feel defeated and like a failure. So one of the first things I help people do is, hey, you got a family. It's just not the family you thought you were creating. It works a little differently. Let me give you a very concrete example. You might be a biological father and, you know, your marriage ended and you know what it is to have your kids and have a great relationship with your own children. So when you meet a woman who's got a couple of kids of her own, you're like, hey, I know how to do the dad thing. Let's go. And you jump in and realize, whoa, they don't want me to be their dad. They don't need me to be their dad. I don't know how to do the stepdad thing. This is a totally different role and relationship set of rules than being a dad is. So now I feel lost and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And by the way, my wife is complaining to me that I'm not doing the dad thing with her kids. Well, I'm trying, but they sort of don't want me to do that. Or one of them's okay with it, but the other one's like, nope, got a dad. Don't need you. Thank you very much. And so now my wife's pulling on me. My children are pulling on me. My guilt is pulling on me, and my stepkids are like moving away from me. I don't know what to do. That's that empty place where we step in and go, oh yeah, this is exactly what you should be experiencing. And people look at me like I have a third eye in the middle of my head. And I'm like, no, you're living the stepdad life. It's just different than being a biological dad. So let's talk about being a stepdad. And by the way, we're going to work with your wife, so she knows what role she has to play as the mom to your stepchildren that will help you be more successful as the step parent and be a team and come together around your strengths. And all of a sudden, now there's a pathway towards something that can lead to good family experiences. Add a little time to the equation, and man, there can be some delightful payoffs for families. But you got to know what you're building and what you're not building.
That is amazing. For every person that has anything to do with farming or buying a piece of land, when you began this, you said, I'm going to crucify that. We get that.
Okay.
You bought it and thought it was going to do this. And
I didn't crucify it.
No, sir.
Okay, good.
Great. That you great. Connected the dots well. I know the audience can't see you. And we have visual here, but you got the Smart Step Family, the book that's behind you.
Yes.
You have some of that that's included in that book, what you're talking about now?
Absolutely. That book is the most comprehensive book on blended families available. It really covers the gamut of not just that expectation, but also the realities of how long does it take to create a blended family? How long does it take to find some harmony and build some family identity? And we can talk about that in a minute. The book also talks about parenting and step-parenting in great detail. Talks about your marriage and how you preserve your marriage in the midst of... See, here's another thing that catches blended family couples off guard. I like to say it this way. At the intersection of marriage avenue and parenting street, there's a lot of T-bone accidents. It goes like this. Honey, your 16-year-old daughter just won't get out of bed in the morning, and we're all late to school and work, and I need your help to get your kid out of bed. And the spouse says, whoa, wait a minute. My kid is the problem? What are you talking about? And by the way, I think you just implied that I haven't been raising my child very well before you came into the picture, because you're telling me she is irresponsible, which means you think I'm a bad parent. And now you're going, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But now watch what happened. In about 10 seconds, you went from a parenting issue to a marital problem. That happens all the time in blended families, and it divides couples. You end up going, we still don't know how to get the 16-year-old out of bed in the morning, and you hate my guts. I think you're a bad parent, or I think you don't like my child. You know, it depends on which side of the equation you're on, but the couple is polarized away from each other. There's a lot of emotional distance there. And so all of a sudden, parenting issues and marital stuff takes you down the wrong road fast. And we help people understand what's going on, why that is, and what you can do about it. I'm also going to address in that book traditions and holidays and birthdays and rituals and all the little things you carried from your old family and your single parent life into the new blended, but the new blended step people don't understand those rituals. They think that what you eat for Thanksgiving dinner is really weird, and they don't want to have any part of it. Like, what do you do in those moments? We talk about that sexual strain that can happen in blended families when you get two step siblings who are basically the same age. And, you know, they're looking at each other more like peers than they are siblings. Like, that can create some weird, you know, romantic sexual overtones. Like, what do we do with that? Like, those are just, that's not a common experience within blended families, but it happens far more than people want to talk about. And so we jump into all that stuff in the book, The Smart Step Family.
So is that book available pretty well anywhere?
Anywhere. Wherever books are sold is what we say. You can get on Amazon, or you can walk into Barnes & Noble's. And if it's not on the shelf, you can ask them for it, and they'll get it to you in a couple of days.
I'm going to come back and ask this at the end of the podcast, but if someone wants to get in touch with you, or they want to know more about your ministry and what you do, how do they do that?
So smartstepfamilies.com is the best web address. You can find me in a couple of different places, but smartstepfamilies.com is a portal that connects you to everything I'm doing, live events, virtual events. We have online videos series that you can just do at your own pace, your own time from home. But you can join us in every spring. This is coming April 29th. I don't know when this podcast drops, but we're doing a live stream from Melbourne, Florida that anybody around the world can participate in. We have people from 30 different countries in the previous years join us for that day. It's basically a marriage seminar for blended family couples. It does have a Christian faith orientation to it. And so, you know, there's all kinds of things like that that are available for people. Convenient. Oh, a podcast. Hey, if you're out in the field, you need something to listen to. We got a podcast. We got over 100 episodes just like this one that will dive into lots of conversations related to blended family living.
That is amazing. I know I'm pausing because I'm processing, but wow, you have given a lot of great information. When you said, tell me one more time, you said the parallel streets of what? And that's where the T-bones accidents occurs.
Parenting Street and Marriage Avenue. Parenting Street and Marriage Avenue. When they intersect, man, there's a lot of T-bone accidents right at that spot.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So you've already given some great advice. If I was out there somewhere, I'd stop my tractor and probably I'd take notes on what you've given us. But if you could, what are two ways that parents and a blended family can improve connection? If you could give two ways, what would they be?
We talked about the Smart Step Family. Let me tell you about another book that I wrote that is maybe even the best first book to read for somebody who's just stepping into this space. They wanted to start. We've got 9 books in our series, but Building Love Together in Blended Families. I wrote that with a guy named Gary Chapman. Now, some people know his 5 love language principles. Gary and I have been friends for years, and I went to him one day and I said, man, your stuff is just so wonderful. But there is one aspect of it that does not work for blended families. And he goes, what's that? Gary is such a humble man. Let me tell you. I mean, it's amazing what he's accomplished, and he's always teachable. He says, what is that? I need to know what that is. And I said, well, it all assumes that knowing the love language of your spouse or your children, that they actually want you to love them that way. You know, if my wife's love language is acts of service, which that is one of my wife's biggest love languages, by the way, acts of service. So if I do the dishes without even her having to mention it, let me tell you, that's foreplay, brother. All right. I mean, that will tell her without a doubt how important she is to me, because I'm doing something that matters, taking it off her list. She doesn't have to worry about it. Boom. That little act of service communicates love. Okay. That's great if she wants me to love her. But what if the person you're trying to love is sort of ambivalent about whether or not they actually want you to love them? So for example, you got a 13-year-old stepdaughter, stepson, and their love language you've learned from their biological parent just from watching them is physical touch. Does that mean on day one as a step-parent in that child's life that you can go and give them bear hugs? Probably not. Because let me ask you this. If somebody walked up, a total stranger walked up to you on the street, started giving you a bear hug, what are you going to do?
Like, I'm not going to like that.
No, you're not. Get out of my face. You know, it might get physical just a little bit. That's a violation of your space. Like, who knows what message that communicates? Same thing's true in a blended family. Just because you're married to my dad does not mean that you get to give me bear hugs. So what now is that step parent supposed to do? All right, we're going to teach you how to apply the love language principles. So back to your question. What's something somebody could do? Learn your stepchildren's love language and yet put it on a scale to say, okay, if bear hugs is a 10, can I start with it? No, probably can't. What's a 2 on that scale of physical touch? You know what it might be? It might be fist bumps. It might be something really impersonal that feels awkwardly strange and weird for a stepparent. Like, what are you saying? Fist bump my 13-year-old because that's where their level of comfort is? Yeah, that's exactly the point. You've got to honor and respect their level of comfort with you. You can't move into somebody's personal space at work or, you know, at school or at church or whatever it is, any more than you can with a stepchild who is now in your household. You've got to earn that relationship. So it starts with a fist bump. And who knows, in 6 months, you might be able to give them a little side hug or, you know, kind of sit on the couch and josh with one another a little bit, push each other around in a very friendly, sort of fun sort of way. And who knows, at some period of time as life and your relationship grows and trust is developing between the two of you, you might be able to give them bear hugs. That is to be determined. Who knows whether you will or won't, but today you can't. That sort of wisdom allows you the time and space to build a relationship. Here's the analogy that everybody listening can understand. If I gave you an assignment, I said, you just got a new neighbor moved in two doors down from you. Here's your job. Your job is to go be friendly. You know, Archie's going to make a new friend today. At least start the process and make a new friend. Well, what would Archie not do? I can tell you what Archie would not do. Just intuitively, you know, you can't run down to your new neighbor's house, bang on their door and scream at them, "Hey, it's Archie. I'm your new BFF. Open the door. I'm hungry. I want something food out of your refrigerator." That ain't working, right? They're calling the cops. The lock, the deadbolts are going. You are not getting in that house. Why? Because you're way too aggressive. You do not respect their space, their boundaries, and you certainly don't respect their story. Real quickly, what I mean by that is, you know, a pro tip for step parents is respect the story of the child you're trying to connect with. Their story includes pain. Dad died, mom and dad divorced. We've moved from house to house to house over the last whatever many years. I've had to change schools, change churches, change, lose friends. Now I'm driving this old clunker. Now, because you're step-parent in my life, I now have to share a bedroom with some step-sibling who I don't even know that well, and they wear my clothes without asking. Like, okay, with that sort of story, you can't push your way into their heart. You can't. So, Archie, how are you going to make a new friend with that neighbor two doors down? You're going to go down, you're going to knock on the door very gently, and you're going to politely, when they say, "Who is it?" You're going to politely say, "It's Archie. I live a couple doors down. I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood." And you know what? If they never open the door, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to wait. And you're going to wait a little longer. And you might decide you have to come back again and gently knock again. And the bottom line is, you stand on that porch until they talk through the door to you. They crack the door open and you got an eyeball. You can see one eyeball. That's all you can see. You don't know what the people look like other than an eyeball. And you talk to the eyeball and you're trying to find something you have in common. You're trying to just, you know, let them see you as somebody who's safe and respectful and caring and trustworthy. And over time, the eyeball becomes two eyeballs and then the door opens even wider. And someday, maybe they'll invite you in off the front porch into the house. It's up to them, not you. So many step-parents are so eager. They just try too hard and they create walls in the process. So when you, with wisdom, say, okay, low touch, not high touch, fist bump, start there, talk through the door, wait until they crack the door. I've got to be patient and persistent and continue to be present. Now, Archie, if that's really hard for step-parents who care, who have big hearts, who are coming in going, "Man, I just want to know this kid. I want them to feel safe with me and comfortable in this new home." And of course you do. And that's wonderful. I love that step-parent's heart. But that still doesn't mean that you get to demand that that child loves you. That is to be determined. So in the meantime, start slow and work your way in and gradually earn that relationship that will allow you to enter into their heart.
Ron, that is good stuff. How long have you been doing this? You said for 17 years?
Yeah, well, full time. I've been blended family 17. I've been doing step family stuff for 30 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I would say that you know exactly what you're doing. And so, again, hey, folks, I know you're listening to this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite Ron to be back with us for a second episode. And so everything he's talked about, we're going to have listed in our show notes. We're going to have it for you can get the links. You can find out about the books. You can find out about the live events. Tell us one more time. You said there's a live event. When's it going to drop? You said it's an online live.
It is Saturday, April 29th. It's a live stream called Blended and Blessed. It's all about trying to help blended families have blessings in their home.
And so anybody can sign in, log in, however that works, and they can be a part of that. And you said in the past you've had folks from over 30 countries before.
That's right. And again, you can sit at home and join the live stream, watch on your phone or your laptop or your desktop computer, or put it on your smart TV. That'll cost you a whopping $20 for a 6-hour live seminar. $20. All right. We have churches that are hosting this for groups of couples, and they can do that for less than $100. And if you happen to live near Melbourne, Florida, or just want to drive down to warm, sunny Florida for that event, you can be a part of it. I think it's $40 a couple to be a part of that day.
Oh, wow. Well, you've given way more than $20 worth a day. I can tell you that. I mean, you can't even, and I think everybody in the listening audience out there would agree with me. You cannot put a price on what Ron has shared with us today. This is good stuff. And folks, I want to encourage you to be back next week, because again, we're going to have Ron back on, and there was an event that took place in their life that he's going to be talking about in this next week. So you do not want to miss that. Hey, again, everything's in the show notes. You can check out all the links. You can go to the website, his website. If you have any questions, you know, Ron mentioned that even the live event they're doing, that's open to everyone. You can register for that. You know, it's Christian-based. And you may be out there today and say, man, I've got some questions about that. Feel free to email me here at archie@agrihealth.net. And we will get you pointed to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. We'll help you. We'll try to answer any question we have. Again, you do not want to miss next week. So make sure, invite your friends and family to be a part of this podcast. If you like what you heard today, subscribe. And again, pass it on to your friends. Hey, until next week, keep farming and keep the faith.
You've been listening to That Farm Life Podcast, planting hope, harvesting strength, with your host, Archie Mason. That Farm Life Podcast is a creation of the AgriHealth Network in conjunction with Grounded Faith Ministries, where we offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. You can learn more about who we are and what we do on our website at agrihealth.net. That's agrihealth, one word, .net. Thanks for listening, and until next week, keep the faith.